The Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce's Women's Leadership Alliance and KeyBank are presenting an evening with Barbara Corcoran on Monday, June 10th at 5:30 at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. Corcoran is a best-selling author and star of ABC's hit series Shark Tank. Her story is she turned a $1,000 loan into a $5 billion real estate empire, making her one of the premier female entrepreneurs in the country. In addition to her success with the Corcoran Group, she serves as the real estate contributor to NBC's Today Show, where she comments weekly on trends in the real estate market. She also is an investor and a shark on ABC's reality hit Shark Tank, now just finishing up its fourth season. To date, she has invested in over 20 new businesses on the show that she's now shepherding to success. It's a great pleasure to welcome Barbara Corcoran to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be going to Poughkeepsie, by the way.
Yeah. You're from New Jersey, so not too far from...
Yes, but I own a home in Pauling, New York, which is just a stone's throw from Poughkeepsie, as you know.
Excellent. What message do you like to get across when you go out and talk to such groups?
It's not a single message because I have a lot to say and I never stop talking, so there's your problem right there. But what I hope to leave the crowd with, if all goes as planned, is to really feel empowered to go forward and make the most of who they are, take advantage of what they have that's naturally given to them, and really make a life for themselves that they really dream about. I just think everything is within reach, and I hope to lead by example, and I plan to just tell probably 20 short stories on how I learned different lessons building my business and how they came to be tremendously helpful to get from the starting gate to the finish line, which I was able to do.
One of the things that I like about your input on in both the NBC case as well as in Shark Tank is the advice that you offer people, whether you give them a deal or not, or whether you offer them an investment or not. It is the advice that you give. And at what point can you usually realize that someone is going in a right or wrong direction?
I really don't pay much attention to which direction they're going in because I know I can change that. What I'm hyper-focused on, totally, and it takes me about a minute, maybe 2 minutes to decide, frankly, is whether they're a good entrepreneur or not, if they have the makings and markings of what will make them capable to be tremendously successful. So what I'm really watching on the show is I'm watching the entrepreneur, not the business. And I'm trying to see and size up how well they take rejection, criticism, how well they perform under fire. Because if there's one thing I know about all successful entrepreneurs is they are very great at failing and getting back up. So they can take a hit and keep on ticking. They kind of almost have a low IQ to a degree, frankly. It's kind of like, hit me again. I'm back. And I'm also seeing if the entrepreneur is able to sell me on their concept. Even if it's the wrong concept, I might say I don't agree with it. But I'm looking for a salesman because I've never seen a new business succeed without a great salesman who could sell it. And a lot of entrepreneurs think it's a business plan. I say it's a salesmanship.
In it's two different things, isn't it? Coming up with the idea of being that entrepreneur, of coming up with something that can sell, that is useful in some way, shape, or form, and then the person that can obviously run the business and make that work.
Well, I must say, if I could do a world survey, I'm sure I would find 1,000 phenomenal ideas that should be successful businesses if they were in the hands of someone who naturally was an entrepreneur. So there are so many businesses that fail, and it's usually not the product so much as it is the inability of the individual to run to the finish line. So again, it goes back to the talent of the entrepreneur.
What are the ingredients, do you think, to be a good entrepreneur? What are you looking for?
I think you, number one, which I just mentioned, you have to be really good at taking a hit. Because if you think building a business is anything more than a series of connected hits, you're crazy. It's not a series of pats on the back. The pats on the back come from yourself very infrequently along the way. What you're really dealing with is a lot of disappointment. So if you can overcome the disappointment by nature and see through it to the bright sun that might just shine, if only you'll stay with it one more month, the sun always comes out because you find your way. So I would say that's number one. Also, I think I've underestimated in my own earlier years the importance of good judgment. If you think about it, when you're building a business, unless you're going to stay as a business of just one person, that's not a very big business, although a perfectly fine business if that's what you're after. But if you're looking to build a big business, you're going to wind up working through people versus just you doing the work. And if you're going to be working through people, you better pick the right people. You better know how to motivate them, when to fire them, when to stop, when to go. You're also going to have great judgment, hopefully, as to what's an opportunity, what's a waste of time. Not that everything is the right judgment or the right choice, but you better be right 90% of the time, because each choice you make costs money. And unless you've got the richest dad in the world, usually you're stretching a dollar just about as far as you can before it starts screaming back at you. And so you want to spend your money as wisely on the best shots you can to get ahead.
The event that you're doing in Poughkeepsie is being co-sponsored by the Women's Leadership Alliance. You look at just the Shark Tank as an example. You have five sharks there. There is one woman. Is that fairly representative of what you deal with in your day-to-day business world?
Well, things have changed, and the one horizon that is the most optimistic, far more so for women than corporate America, is entrepreneurship. Today, almost 6 out of 10 people who start a business are female. And you want to know, it gives a lot to the woman that she's very much in need of. Most women, the great majority of us, have children, raise them, and are the chief bottle washer, cook, social planner, vacation planner at home. You know, most women run the household. Men are far more helpful, but generally the woman's at the lead of the household, the children, and the social commitments. And so what a woman needs more than anything else, if she's going to build a business, is freedom to make her own hours, to work as she pleases around the very tiring schedule that most women contend with. And men, for the most part, really don't have those issues. And so entrepreneurship is a much more level playing field for women today than corporate America, which is far more restrictive as to which hours you work, whether you could go to kids' play. So you work for yourself, basically, you do what you please, and you do it on your own time schedule. And I think that is a very attractive option for women, and I believe that the rate of women succeeding is just as high as it is with men, despite the fact that they have so much on their plate if they've started their own business.
Did you have corporate restrictions along the way, or were you more entrepreneurial in your career?
Well, I owned my business, so I was I was the lead dog. I called the shots, decided who I wanted to work with, decided where I was going to spend my money, which offices I cared to.
From the beginning.
Paint my walls from the beginning.
Yeah.
Do you know, I had 22 jobs before I started real estate, so I certainly worked for other people. And if there's only one thing that I didn't like about all of the jobs, is I did not like having a boss. Quite honestly, I liked being in charge of myself. So I think if I had gone certainly into the corporate world, I think I would have been a miserable son of a gun. Thank God I managed to start my own business and have the freedom that comes with it.
So how are you then able to be a good boss, knowing that you wouldn't want to work for anybody?
Well, you'll have to really ask my employees now, the salespeople I managed and ran for so many years, and also my entrepreneurs, which I don't try to play the boss because they are the majority shareholders of the people
right.
I invested in Shark Tank. But I think so much of it has to do with setting a good example. And so if the boss works all the time and makes honest decisions and promotes the most able people versus the guys kissing the butt, right, and provides inspiration, I think you've slayed half the dragon of getting great employees. And then, of course, you have to create a corporate culture. And the culture that I like to create, mostly because I want to have fun, is a fun culture. And what happens is if you can make sure that you're having fun in and out of the workplace with the people that you're working with, they are happier in their jobs because they're part of a happy family. I mean, everybody really, I don't care how independent they are, they want to be part of a happy family. And the family that they spend most of their waking hours with is they're the people they work with. And so you have to get all great people with mutual respects, different different talents, because it makes up one big picture that you're going to need to grow a business. There's many talents that are needed. And make each person feel as though they are as valuable as they really are, because no one ever succeeds without tremendous people around them. It just can't be done. I don't care if you're a walking genius. And so being particularly respectful of the need you have as a boss of having great people around you is a great starting point, and then acting that out day to day, I think, is how you finish that up.
So let me get geeky for a moment and ask you about some of the mechanics of Shark Tank, because I love this program, and I'm curious.
That's
to
not geeky, man. That's smart.
Well, just specific question. So how much do you know going in? When that person walks through those doors, how much do you know? What kind of information do you have?
We know exactly what you know at home. In fact, we know less than you know at home, because some of these entrepreneurs, they will give you a home study and show them, you know, they introduce them by saying, so-and-so lives in Alabama,
right,
and he's making his fishery. We've never seen that. What we see is exactly what you see when they say, hi, my name is Joe Smith, and I'm in the shrimp business. That's our hello, how do you do?
Yeah.
And so when you hear those questions and answers, that's what we're hearing. The only difference is that in real time, when we're taping the show, each of those pitches takes probably 45 minutes, questions, answers, pitching. And then, of course, the editors decide what's the best part of it, and that's what you're shown at home, usually 5 to 10 minutes.
Now, the other thing that, for anyone who's seen the show, it seems to be the most common thing is when people come in there, mistake number one is that their company is overvalued. They're asking for too much for what the company is worth. Is that safe to say?
Oh, definitely. And you know what? I'm all for that, because you know what it means? It means they have great self-value. I don't mind that one bit. And it's a negotiation.
So when people come in, and I guess my question is more on a from a producer angle, of what are they looking for in picking the people who come to see you?
Well, they're looking for, number one, good TV. Remember,
right,
it's not just angel investing, it's great TV. So they want a personality, and the personality runs the gamut of someone who's extremely articulate. They always want people with high energy, because someone with low energy on TV kind of even dumbs it down more. So they want high energy, a character, and the character could be someone extremely articulate and brilliant, or it could be someone who's a total nut job. It's also great TV. And so that's number one. The second thing they want is they want a real business, not someone who said, oh, I've always wanted to open a corn muffin business and let me put it together so I could get on Shark Tank. They're really looking for someone who already birthed the business before they thought of going on Shark Tank. So it's real, not just a pretend business. And then last, they're looking for someone who's great on camera. You know, just some people really have a hard time on this show. They're panicked and they can't articulate themselves. And other people are just fine on their feet.
It is very odd to me to have a smart reality show.
Isn't that true, though? You're right about those words just don't go together.
No, and one of the things that struck me from the very beginning of the program is that it's a very intelligent. I mean, obviously, look, there's all the trappings and of television, and as you said in the produce, and there's maneuvering that goes around. But at the end of the day, there's a lot to be learned there.
There is so much to be learned. And, you know, thank God, because I have to tell you, I believe that the Shark Tank show every Friday night creates another few million potential entrepreneurs. And, you know, we have the largest child audience in the industry. Who would ever think a business reality show would have the biggest group of children watching? But those children are watching options, and that's got to drill into their head. And everywhere I travel with the little kids that I meet that say, can I get a picture? They all tell me they're going to be in business for themselves. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I mean, I don't think most of these kids were thinking that way, unless their parents were entrepreneurs, but a lot of kids are now being raised and fed that message that this is pretty cool.
And it's fun for us as the audience just to even guess of who, if anyone, will make a deal. But if we see someone come
the
in,
horse race.
Of course, but if we see someone come in and they have a food business, they seem very likely to go with you. If a deal is to be made.
I'm going to have to stop buying food businesses. They're actually just a third of the businesses I've bought, but somehow, yes, I find that to be the case.
But you're,
I know food now.
Right. So that's something you're in,
like,
and you're
eat.
Good at that.
You know what? I don't know if I'm good at food. I have to tell you, I know far less about it than I should. And these are all young, new entrepreneurs, so they don't know about it.
Right.
That's not necessarily the best formula for success, is it? But what I tend to like people who like food. You know, who do you know who likes to eat? They're generally nice people. And the few people I have who are not friends that I'm forced to hang out with for one reason or another through family connections who don't want to eat, don't want food, they're usually no good at the dinner table to talk to either. So I don't know. Maybe just nice people like food businesses. You always like the guy at the local pizzeria. You always like the woman who owns the diner, don't you?
Yeah.
It's really nice people, and that's what I'm really shopping for. Not food businesses, not a particular business at all, or not even businesses. I'm shopping for great entrepreneurs.
And it also comes down to what you can offer in the way of distribution, right?
Certainly, but I'm not sure I'm any more able than any other shark on that panel.
Yeah.
It's just I'm extremely willing to jump on it and see where it goes.
I will end with the gossipy portion of this, but the relationship between all of you, is there respect in that room?
Of course, it's better than respect. Well, first of all, everyone earned their seat. They had to be hugely successful on their own account to get there. That's one. So there you got the respect. Secondly, when someone beats you out on a deal, that's an extra helping of respect. But once we're off the set, and you have to realize we're sitting there for 10-hour shooting days. Once we're off the set, once we have a glass of wine or beer or a martini or whatever people's favorite drink is, it's kind of like hanging out with your buddies from the ditches in the war zone. Because you've just been through a war together yet another day, and there's tremendous camaraderie, and we all really like each other. And that makes a heck of a difference. I think you sense that on the show, too. Certainly you see competitive sharks, but don't you also get the impression that we probably like each other?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. The Dutchess County Regional Chamber of Commerce's Women's Leadership Alliance and KeyBank are presenting an evening with Barbara Corcoran. It is Monday, June 10th at 5:30 at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie, New York. Barbara Corcoran, a delight to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being with us, and it'll be wonderful to have you in the region.
My pleasure, Rich. I'm looking forward to it.
Best of luck to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Again, an evening with Barbara Corcoran takes place Monday, June 10th at 5:30 at the Mid-Hudson Civic Center in Poughkeepsie. You can find out more information by going to dcrcoc.org. dcrcoc.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.